are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire and blues musician Tom Holland, both in studio. And in a moment, we're going to check in with Representative Robert Martwick. And yesterday I was in the car. You know, the interesting thing about having social media, if you are connected, if you're following your legislators, and they could be any of them, they will often share links of real-time debates that are going on, whether it's something going on in committee. I urge you to follow either your legislators or the ones that you want to find out what they're talking about. You know, it's the 312 said, what happened today in Springfield? Just Democrats being Democrats, nothing new to see or hear. That, well, and that's, you know, depending on if you want to be informed about the vote coming up, presumably from your text, you'll be voting against the measure to change our to amend the Constitution to change the way we levy taxes in the state of Illinois. So that's going to be on the ballot. We'll find out from Representative Martwick what the debate was about and what that means for the election coming up in 2020. We also in 2020. Yeah. It's so weird to think that we're only a year and a half away from the presidential election. Yeah. Some of the debates amongst the candidates are coming up within a month. Isn't that weird?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, within the next month or two. But if you think about it, that was about where we were when Trump was running. He was in debates. Remember in
2015?
He was.
No one was paying attention.
No, and people did not. That's how I won several bets. Was Professor, our dear sweet Professor Green, who we miss.
Yeah.
He and I actually, he was the first person to bet me. He did not think that President Trump was going. I mean, that Donald Trump was going to make it past the first debate, and I told him that he would, and then Scott Stantis did not believe that President Trump would make it past the first debate, and I said not only will he make it past the first debate, his numbers will go up. I want every bet. I don't know why I'm not that excited about it, but that's how things turned out. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and I want to know how you're doing today. How did your neighborhood weather the weather today? I'm sorry. That wasn't right. I apologize to everyone who's involved. Actually, I got another text from a listener who knew Desi O'Neill. Before the break, I was talking about Desi O'Neill, who I knew as Uncle Des. He was my father's lifelong friend. They grew up near Clark and Diversey, and they went to, I want to say they went to St. Clementine's. I think Desi went to school with him as well. They grew up in the 30s and 40s on the north side of Chicago. Desi, I believe Desi might have also served in the military, but I know that he and my dad chose different paths in life. My dad just kind of always cobbling together an income with odd jobs, whether it was driving the cab or as a tuck pointer.
Hustling.
Yeah. And actually, they had a company together. My dad and Desi had a tuck pointing company together.
Oh, wow.
I got to find my jacket because it was called D&L Tuck Pointing. It was Desi and Lair. And the jacket had, this is how long ago it was. Nobody cared that my dad had their phone number. Like our house number was on the jacket. And I still have that somewhere. So it was D&L Tuck Pointing, and Desi just had some of the greatest stories about my dad, and a lot of great stories of them growing up. But there's a listener who says that Desi was one of a kind, a great representative of why they are called Chicago's bravest. Enjoyed many a corned beef sandwich and a cold one with him. He was an outstanding human being. We mentioned that we were going to talk to Representative Robert Martwick, who is on the line all the way down in Springfield. Wanted to check in with you, as I know you were standing for about 3 hours as legislators debated the fair tax and whether or not it should be on our ballot. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Well, technically it was 3.5 hours, but who's counting, really? Patty, I couldn't be better. If I had stood for 7 hours, it would only improve my mood because it was a great thing today to be able to pass this initiative, something that people have worked on for more than a decade, something I've worked on personally for more than 7 years. And, it really gives our state a chance to dig its way out of its financial problems and put ourselves on the path to prosperity once again. So I'm thrilled today.
Well, it was there was a lot of conversation, obviously, a lot of legislators who rose to either give their support or their disdain for this measure. Let folks know what it means now, because this isn't we haven't amended the Constitution of the state of Illinois. What is going to happen next with this?
Well, and I think that's really important, and that's something that I mentioned, is that there is no act of the legislature that can adopt a fair tax or a tax with graduated income tax rates. The only thing that can do that is the people of the state of Illinois. So all we did today was give the people of the state of Illinois a chance to weigh in. Should we keep this flat tax system that we have that it really has been, in large part, the cause of some of our problems? Or should we update to a more modern tax system that's more fair and gives relief to middle-class, working-class, and poor families throughout the state of Illinois? And so on the November 2020 election ballot, the voters of the state of Illinois will be able to weigh in. And unless they approve by an overwhelming majority, we won't get this. So, you know, so we passed this measure to put the question on the ballot, and now the informational campaign begins to convince people this is the right thing to do.
And, of course, you know, those who were against it will also be sending out information as to why people should not. And one of the questions that comes up, I know I saw this on the feed, on your Facebook live feed, and I was mentioning, Rep, that folks should follow their legislators. Or they can, I mean, they can follow you if they have questions or comments. You're very informative. You break it down. You break down a lot of these things. You know, people want to know why, you know, we're doing, you know, we're changing taxes, but we're not, let's see, what does the E312 say? We're not showing fiscal responsibility. Because if you're going to amend the income tax, why can't you also make an amendment to fix the pension? And I think you break that down pretty well for folks. What do you say to a listener who has those comments to make?
Sure. And I mean, I think every initiative has its own realities. And, you know, the idea that we should amend the Constitution to allow us to unilaterally diminish pension benefits has a lot of problems. The first of which is that a vast majority of people in this state and legislators elected, including Republicans, feel that it would be wrong to diminish retirement benefits from people who have relied on that promise. And so the idea that you can get 71 votes to even put it on the ballot is sort of a fallacy. So for those people who want it, I say, run your own legislation and good luck to you. But you're not going to weigh down mine because you want something else, right?
Right. I mean, both things can happen. We can, you know, work
absolutely
on the pension reform.
If you've got the votes, run the bill, put it on the board, and you'll get it. But as I say, you know, people think that this is a Democratic-Republican thing. It's not. I would be willing to venture that there's at least one-third, and it's maybe as many as half of the Republicans in the legislature wouldn't vote to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would diminish pension benefits. And even if you did that, then you'd be dealing with the Supreme Court that already said you can't do that. So no, it's conflating the issues. It's trying to drag down one issue because of your concerns about another one, and that's not the way we do things.
What do you say to folks who worry that if we're going to start, you know, placing higher taxes, because this doesn't really start to affect people unless they're making over $250,000 in a way that is, you know, that more taxes or that your taxes go up? Because if you earn under 250, and if you earn under 50, you're actually going to benefit, whether, you know, it might not be something that you're going to go buy a new car with, but it makes a difference, doesn't it?
It is real tax relief for everyone making $250,000 a year or less. But there's a real interesting caveat there. It's real tax relief compared to our current system. Understand that our current system makes problems worse, where this is a solution to our problems. And if you were to compare this to a flat tax solution, so keep our flat tax, but raise it to the point that does the same things that this solution would do, then really the slider is about anyone under about $320,000 a year would be paying less. In fact, someone making $250,000 a year would save about $2,000 a year over a similar flat tax. So this is truly changing our system to provide more fairness. It's providing relief for people that need it, and yet it is raising the revenues that we need to balance our budgets, to stop accumulating debt, to finally fund education as we've always promised we would, and to reinvest in our government so that we can provide opportunities for people that need opportunities.
There's a listener who texts in, most people, particularly fiscal conservatives, should like the fair tax that keeps or lowers their taxes to be more fiscally responsible. So I guess you do have some folks who are following this and are trying to stay informed on it.
Well, it's wonderful. Like I said, there's been a lot of misinformation about this, but that's not surprising. You know, there's an old saying, when the facts are not in your favor, then you argue something other than the facts. And we saw that a lot today. We heard about how this would be a middle class. This would affect the middle class. It would not. The only way it would affect the middle class is it would give the middle class and even the upper middle class, the upper echelons of the middle class, tax relief, middle class, working class, and poor. We heard that it was a jobs tax. It would affect people that are small businesses. 95% of small businesses in Illinois would see tax relief under this plan. And so, you know, the things that they talk about are just not really true. And when their talking points are true, you have to ask yourself, what's the motivation? If what you're saying is not really accurate, then what is your ultimate end goal? And I think right here, the reality of it is that it's not, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say, hey, I'm standing up for the wealthiest people in our state. But I think that's the reality of the people that are opposed to this. That's who funds their campaigns, and that's who they're supporting.
We have to run to a break in just a moment before we let you go, because I know it's been a long day and you have more work to do this week. As I always ask you, please fix the state. And there's a lot of men and women down in Springfield trying to get things done. What are the other big issues that we should be on the lookout for, the big stories coming down?
I appreciate that there are so many big issues still waiting to be resolved. Of course, we have to patch a budget, which I think we will. There is the Reproductive Health Act, which would enshrine the current law. It would not expand abortion rights, but it would enshrine that whatever is the current status of abortion law in Illinois would remain that, regardless of what the Supreme Court does on Roe versus Wade. Very important legislation. That's still coming up yet. And then, you know, we have hopes for legalized recreational cannabis and gambling expansion. So we're hoping that we get those things done. We'll see what happens to them.
Well, I wish you all the very best down there, and that's for the men and women on both sides of the aisle. We will, I believe, was Representative Batnick doing, what was he calling on to make sure that everyone was present that voted? Was that what I was watching?
Yeah, and so that's a typical tactic, is that they say that they want a verified roll call, which means we want to ensure that everyone who votes yes for this is in the chamber voting their own switch. Unfortunately, and of course, as you know, I have a great affection for my friend, Representative Batnick, but, you know, regardless of his great policy arguments, no one can divorce themselves from politics. And his move today was purely political, as he called out representatives in swing districts just to confirm that they voted yes. And so it was a totally political move. It failed, because everyone was in the chamber when we voted for the measure. And I think ultimately we'll fail politically, because the bottom line is that 97% of Illinoisans will receive tax relief under this plan. And that's not just in Democratic districts. That's in every Republican district, including Representative Badnick's, will receive, the vast majority, over 90%, will receive tax relief. And it's just a losing argument to be against this bill.
Well, we appreciate your time, and I'm sorry we can't get to our calls. We have a couple of listeners who called in, and I only had this segment carved out tonight. So we'll check in with you again.
Well, maybe in a week I'll be happy to come in, and we'll sit down, and we'll have everybody call in, and I'll be happy to answer all their questions.
Oh, perfect. I appreciate that, Rep. Have a good evening. And, folks, you can find Representative Martwick on Facebook, I suggest, or your own legislator. Find out what kind of work they're doing down there. Many of them will provide Facebook Live video or update on the bills that they're working on, the things that are important to you. Remember, they work for you, so hold them accountable. We appreciate your time, Representative.
Thank you, Patty. Have a great evening.
You as well. Time for a quick break. The news and our conversation continues.